Okay, so just making
radio.
Just want to make sure everything in the chat looks good, that you all are able to hear me clearly. It looks like everything seems to be good. I don't see anybody reporting any issues. So let's go ahead and get started with the information for this live stream. We pull up our first article we have here. It comes off of Healthline. As a matter of fact, give me one moment because the article I had here did not pull something else up. So let me find that article real quick and I'm going to pull that up. Okay, here we go. So what we have here off of Healthline.com. The name of this particular article is Manganese Deficiency. What is manganese? Manganese is a naturally occurring element and an essential mineral nutrient. It's important for maintaining good health, though manganese can be toxic at high levels. Okay, so just like anything else, too much of anything can be bad. Manganese deficiency is rare but can happen, especially with certain medical conditions. Read on to learn what manganese does and what it means if you have a deficiency. So the good thing about this particular mineral is that a deficiency in this is rare, but it can happen. All right, so we're going to go into reasons behind deficiencies and also what those deficiencies can mean for your health, all right? It says, what does manganese do? Manganese is important for several functions in your body. Metabolism, all right? So I'll pull up here. We have a, graph. Also with some, different roles and benefits of manganese, of what it does for the body. I'm going to read here on this article. First is metabolism. They have listed here. Your body contains numerous proteins called enzymes. Enzymes help to speed up chemical reactions. Manganese is a necessary component of several important enzymes in your body that work to process carbohydrates, amino acids, and cholesterol. All right, so we're seeing the importance, if nothing else. We've talked, a lot about enzymes. Okay, enzymes which are similar in nature to bacteria, okay, very, very important in the body because without, the enzymes and bacteria to do their part, then the minerals and vitamins cannot be utilized. Okay, and then we're talking about carbohydrates, amino acids, and cholesterol or fats. Cholesterol is a type of fat. So therefore, these are your macros or your macronutrients. So important when it comes to these particular macros, this is where you get your energy from. Okay, so, you talk about calories and things like that. Calories are needed to for energy, whether it's bodily functions, things happening in your body that need energy to actually process or, if you're running, exercising, working, whatever the case may be, you need energy. So manganese is important when it comes to getting these macros processed in the body, all right? Antioxidant properties, all right? We talked about antioxidants and how important they are. So another thing manganese is known for is its antioxidant properties. An antioxidant stops harmful free radicals from damaging your cells. A manganese-containing enzyme present in your cells is the main detoxifier of free radicals. So very, very understanding when we talk about manganese being a, helping with enzymes, right? And we know that enzymes are pretty much what antioxidants are. They are enzymes that go throughout the body, and anything that's in your body that can, a lot of, damaging things that could happen to your cells called free radicals these enzymes can now break these free radicals down and then allow them to be detoxified out of the body. Okay, so, you know, that alone is very, also very important, along with the breakdown of for energy. And so a person may, you know, feel like, okay, to take advantage of this, let me make sure that, you know, I may not get like a supplement of manganese that's a high dose, but maybe just a little dosage just to make sure that I'm taking advantage of these benefits here, just to make sure that I'm getting it if I'm missing it in my diet, right? Bone health and development. Manganese is essential for enzymes that help from bone, help form bone and cartilage. Very, very important. We talk about our bones, okay? Bones, cartilage, all that. That's the body's, makes up the body's form and structure. Okay, wound healing. Manganese is present in an enzyme that provides an amino acid called proline. Proline is necessary for the production of collagen in your skin cells. Collagen formation is essential to wound healing. Okay, so typically when you're talking about enzymatic supplements where a person is looking to get, you know, for antioxidants' sake, or a person is looking for a supplement that's collagen-based, you know, manganese is typically, you're going to see it probably pop up a lot of times within these supplements because of its benefits to help assist with the person who is looking to capitalize on when it comes to collagen, maybe bone development or antioxidants, okay? So now we're going to talk about what are the symptoms of a deficiency. So now if you're not getting the proper amount, all right, how do you identify whether or not you are suffering from not getting this proper amount? It says here, since manganese is found in many foods within our daily diets, reports of manganese deficiency are rare. A person that does have a deficiency in manganese could experience the following symptoms. Poor bone growth or skeletal defects. So of course, if it's going to help with your bones, if you're not getting it, opposite of that, poor bone growth, skeletal defects. Also slow or impaired growth, low fertility. So if you're somebody maybe who fertility is low, you're looking to conceive, all right, maybe look at your manganese levels. Impaired glucose tolerance, a state between normal glucose maintenance and diabetes. So, of course, talk about the macronutrients, your carbohydrates, your fats, your proteins. If it's needed for enzymatic processes, it's going to help utilize your macros. And, of course, you can lead to this impairment of glucose tolerance, things like diabetes and whatnot. You also have abnormal metabolism of carbohydrate and fat, which is what we just spoke about. Okay. So what are some common causes of the deficiency of manganese? Manganese deficiency could be caused by not having enough manganese in your diet. However, according to the Institute of Medicine's review of dietary micronutrients, a clinical deficiency in manganese due to diet has not been observed in otherwise healthy people. People with the following conditions could be at risk of lower than ideal manganese levels. Okay. So typically when you talk about a deficiency, because manganese is what you would call a trace mineral or a micro mineral. Okay, you have macro minerals and you have micro minerals. A micro mineral is a mineral that's needed by the body in a less, a smaller measurement. Doesn't mean that it's still not important that you get it, but you're probably not going to find this particular mineral, it's going to be in smaller quantities when you go to get it from food because it's not needed as much. But however, still necessary, it's still important. But typically you don't find it within the diet that a person is not getting this because of bad diet. Typically what we find, people that have a deficiency are those that have these conditions. So if you have any of these conditions, you could be running a risk of manganese. We have epilepsy here. osteoporosis, diabetes, exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, an ability to digest food due to a deficiency of digestive enzymes produced by the pancreas. Okay, so again, if it's talking about enzymes here, the pancreas used to produce enzymes, then it makes sense that now this could actually cause a deficiency with manganese. People who are on hemodialysis, and some of these things we can actually look at to see what dialysis is, hemodialysis, dealing with the kidneys. Okay, so if you're having issues with your kidneys, you're on dialysis, then you could run a risk of this deficiency, epilepsy. You're talking about a person who has seizures, a lot of seizures, okay, epilepsy. When you talk about osteoporosis, you're talking about bone issues, person who has maybe a bone disease. Children with Perfis disease or Perfs disease, a rare condition where blood flow to the thigh bone is disrupted. Children with phenylketonuria, an inherited disorder in which blood levels of phenylalanine are elevated. Okay, so some blood issues here could lead to deficiencies in manganese. All right, and the main thing is, you know, whenever we are not getting the vitamins and minerals in our diets, these conditions then can present themselves. These health issues can now happen. And now because these health issues are there, it's going to now be harder when we do try to go to get the minerals or vitamins that we're lacking. Now the body's in a condition where it cannot uptake these nutrients. So it's the reason why it's important that we are eating healthy so we don't develop health conditions, ill health conditions. So the best medicine is preventative, okay, proactive, not reactive, right? You want to make sure that you're ahead of the eight ball on your health and not wait until you fall into a state of illness to say, okay, now I want to fix this. Well, you may have dug yourself a hole that might, you know, depending on the condition or state or how much it's progressed, might be hard to dig yourself out of that hole. Okay, so I know a lot of people may think, you know, because they don't have an issue right now, or at least that they're aware of, that they're fine. Well, that may not necessarily be true. Let's examine your diet. Let's see how you're eating. And you could be eating yourself into a hole, okay, or there could be a condition that exists that you're just not aware of. Okay, so this information is for everyone. Doesn't matter how healthy you are. This is information that we all, if we're all taking responsibility of our health and our bodies, this is stuff we all need to know and be informed on so we understand how things work and we can, you know, position ourselves for the best state of health that we can have in the environment and all of its challenges that are there that would, you know, cause us to, be deficient or develop health issues. We want to make sure that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot by not knowing, just some basics about health and making sure that we're implementing and eating the best that we can for the most part, right? So somebody may ask, well, how do I diagnose, you know, when it comes to manganese in my bloodstream, and how do I know whether or not I have the proper levels? And this is pretty much the same for, you know, any vitamin or mineral. It says here, manganese levels in your blood can be evaluated using a simple blood test. In order to perform the test, your doctor will need to obtain a blood sample from a vein in your arm. So basically, you go to the doctor, they draw blood, they're able to measure your blood, see what's in the blood, okay, and they can determine, okay, you're good on these particular levels for this particular mineral, vitamin, whatever, or you know what, your levels are low. So now we need to figure out why that is. Is it because of bad diet? If you're eating good and it's still low, then now we need to see, okay, is there something else going on, some type of condition that now is causing your levels to be low? And so now let's go ahead and put you on a supplement and at the same time fix the issue that's causing the deficiency. Okay, because you don't want to continue. You don't want to just say, well, I'll just supplement and I'm good. If you can fix the deficiency, you can fix the root issue that's causing the deficiency. Let's get that fixed. All right, because that could lead to other issues. You don't want to have it be a chain reaction. All right, so it talks about how a deficiency is treated when you have depletion. Symptoms subsided when subjects were given manganese supplementation. All right, and what I suggest is any type of food supplement, you know, when it comes from food, right? Typically phyto, which means plant, a phyto supplement, a plant or food-based supplement where you can get, you know, this particular, whatever you need that's missing or that's deficient, you can get it from a food-based supplement, okay? But that's something that you'd have to discuss with your doctor to see also what they suggest. Also, another thing is we'll be suggesting more manganese-rich foods in your diet, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. Where can I find it in nature, in my diet, to see am I eating these foods to where, you know, I can kind of be, you know, somewhat, you know, being able to know whether or not I'm eating the right foods to get this to make sure I have it in my body, right? So it says here, it tells you how much, 2.3 milligrams per day for men, 1.8 for women, as far as typically the intake, as far as what's needed. You also have complications that can happen from deficiency. So if the deficiency continues, it can lead to these complications. Skeletal defects have been found in animals. So what defects of the skeleton? Curved spine. Okay, so your spine, which that's your backbone, that's something that's very important. You don't want to be dealing with the curved spine if you can help it. Shorter and thicker limbs and enlarged joints. Okay, so all these things are problematic. And again, once you start having issue, you know, one issue in your body, then it can be a domino effect or a chain reaction of events to where now it just starts to compound. Okay, if you have a curved spine, now you're walking different, and now that walking different can now cause an issue with maybe like your hip or one of your legs, and now that has an issue. And then that now leads to the next issue, and it just continues to domino from there, okay? So this is the reason why, you know, it shouldn't be taken lightly when we talk about eating healthy, right? Let's see here. What else do we have? You also have pregnant animals who were deficient in manganese and gave birth to offspring that had significant movement issues. Okay, so again, you're talking about the skeletal system. And so some of these significant movement issues included a lack of coordination and stability. All right, so as a child, you want your child to be as healthy as possible, not to have skeletal issues, not to have coordination, be uncoordinated, and not be able to stabilize themselves, right? So the good thing of it is that if you're eating a well-balanced diet, you should be fine as long as you don't have any underlying issues health-wise. It's not typical to have this issue for most people, okay? So speaking of that, what foods now would be looked to that are rich in this mineral called manganese? Some examples of foods that are good sources of manganese include nuts, such as almonds and pecans, beans and legumes, such as lima and pinto beans, oatmeal and bran cereals, whole wheat bread, brown rice, leafy green vegetables such as spinach, fruits such as pineapple and acai, and dark chocolate. Okay, so, you know, you can look at that list, and there's more here also, and we're going to get some more foods here in a moment, but here is a list. You can see a lot of different foods there that have this mineral, and you can ask yourself, am I eating any of these foods on a consistent basis that are on this list? If you're not, and there's probably a chance that not only are you missing out on the benefits of this mineral and going to run into some deficiency and health issues, if not already, but also a plethora of other nutrients that you're missing out on. Okay. It says here, iron-rich foods or supplements have been shown to lower your absorption of manganese. Phosphorus and calcium may also decrease your retention of manganese, but at a lower amount compared with iron. Okay, so I know we talked about how important iron is. So if you're on iron, and a lot of people struggle with iron, anemia and all these things. And so therefore, it may be a situation to where because you're now taking supplements for iron or focusing on really, really iron-rich foods, now it could then have issues on the manganese being absorbed. So therefore, again, the most simple thing to do if you want to know, maybe you're having one of these deficiency symptoms and you're curious to know whether or not, this is a cause, just go to a doctor, get a blood test. They can measure your levels, and you'll know for sure. If you just want to know because, you don't have any of these issues, maybe you're not, having to take iron supplementation or focus on iron-rich foods as much, but you still want to know, get your levels checked. All right, that's the best way to find out. It takes away a lot of the guesswork. Now, you also have a scenario where you can get too much manganese, right? And being that it is a micronutrient, a micromineral, excuse me, then it is easy to get too much if you're supplementing. Despite being essential for many important bodily functions, manganese can be toxic in large amounts. Now, typically when we say large amounts, you really kind of have to be just taking high dosages of it. Like when you look on the back of a supplement and it tells you the percentage, you have to be taking a whole lot. Typically when you see manganese in food or supplementation, usually it's a small percentage. So, it's very probably rare to run into, when you're talking about getting too much. But nonetheless, it could be easy to do if you're not careful. You also have inhaled manganese toxicity is an occupational hazard for some workers. This is especially true for welders and smelters who are exposed to dust or aerosols that contain manganese. So if you work as a welder or a smelter, you're dealing with, occupational, some type of, hazard type of work where you're dealing with melting down of metals and chemicals and these type of things, then all that can be floating in the air, and now you're inhaling that, and that could lead to toxicity of manganese. Because remember, it's actually a what would be considered like a rock or a metal in the earth, and so it's going to be in things like steel and some things that they're pulling from the earth that's being melted down, and all of that fire being exposed to certain, the different objects and things like that can now produce fumes and dust that you can breathe in to cause toxicity of this. It can cause inflammation of the lungs. Symptoms might include cough and bronchitis. People have also experienced a toxic effect of manganese when levels in drinking water are too high. Okay, so sometimes it can get in the water and be a high amount. Somehow the source where the water is being sourced from, there was a high level of manganese, and now it's in the water in a high amount. Okay, so just telling you the different ways it can happen, but it's typically rare, right? Not normal. It can also have a neurotoxic effect in large amounts. Symptoms include psychological disturbances and a reduction in motor function. Okay, so it can be a neurotoxin if too much is in the body, which is going to affect your brain, your nerves, all the things that would allow you to move and function properly. This, you know, the signals that are being sent from the brain and nerves can also be when it's too much in the body. What is the takeaway? Takeaway is manganese is an essential nutrient necessary for many important bodily functions. Generally, most people are able to consume enough manganese through their regular diet. If you're concerned that you have a manganese deficiency, or if you have a condition that puts you at risk for lower than optimal manganese levels, talk with your doctor about concerns. Okay, so that's the article, and you all will get this and the references. I'll put them in the description box after this video is archived. From Healthline, titled Manganese Deficiency. So now we're going to go over to our next article here, and we're just going to kind of skim through this one, and then we're going to go to the call lines. I'll also be taking your calls in the or I'll be looking at your comments in the chat room. And if you have any questions there in the live chat, you can put questions there. I'll be taking questions for about 30 minutes there, and also Blog Talk. And so the Blog Talk phone number is there, as you can see, below my video, 515-605-9327. Any health-related questions, any questions about this discussion tonight, call in, press 1, and I'll get to your calls, all right? So we have here another article off Healthline.com, evidence based benefits of manganese. It says your body needs manganese, but only in small amounts. Manganese may be good for treating inflammatory disorders, regulating blood sugar, and decreasing risk for health conditions like strokes. Manganese is a trace mineral which your body needs in small amounts. It's required for the normal functioning of your brain, nervous system, and many of your body's enzyme systems. While your body stores up to about 20 milligrams of manganese in your kidneys, liver, pancreas, and bones, you also need to get it from your diet. Manganese is considered an essential nutrient and can be found especially in seeds and whole grains, as well as in smaller amounts in legumes, beans, nuts, leafy green vegetables, and tea. Here are 10 evidence-based benefits of manganese. May improve bone health in combination with other nutrients. Okay, so there are many nutrients that are good for the bones, calcium, zinc, copper, manganese. Supports bone mineral density. So again, if you're dealing with issues in your bones, have any type of bone health condition, then definitely have to make sure that you are getting the proper amount of this mineral. Let's see. So you have studies that show about 50% of postmenopausal women and 25% of men aged 50 or older will suffer from an osteoporosis-related bone break. So especially as you get older, your bones become more brittle, easier to break. Okay, So had to make sure that the diet is right, the minerals are right to avoid this problem. Okay, so taking these minerals, making sure you're focused on them, will help with these skeletal problems. Spinal bone loss in older women. You also have vitamin D, also good for your bones. Can throw in there as a vitamin to go along with this. Also we talked about this in the previous article. Number two, strong antioxidant properties may reduce disease risk. Okay, may reduce disease risk. So it is a part of the antioxidant enzyme superoxide dismutase, or SOD, which is arguably one of the most important antioxidants in your body. So we have this antioxidant, which is important, which manganese plays a role with. So again, it can't be minimized. This is an important mineral, as are they all. So it's got to be up there with glutathione, which typically is associated with selenium, right? Glutathione. So these particular minerals, like these, are very important when it comes to the enzymatic processes to deal with antioxidants in the body. Okay, and these antioxidants, again, these free radicals cause damage to your cells. If your cells are dying, you're going to age quicker. Okay, you're going to age quicker. You're going to develop things like heart disease, cancer, right? So you don't want your cells to die or to be damaged or to be sick. You want your cells to be healthy, vibrant, and living as long as they can. And that leads to a longer life and better health. So this particular enzyme helps combat the negative effects of free radicals by converting superoxide, one of the most dangerous free radicals, into smaller molecules that won't damage your cells. Okay, so it breaks these bad things down in your body, in the blood, so that they don't damage the cells. And then once they're broken down, they can be then, escorted out the body. It talks about how these free radicals that we're talking about here can lead to play a larger role in heart disease risk. Also, rheumatoid arthritis. If you're somebody who's dealing with arthritis, then this could be, something to look into here for this mineral. All right, let's see. What else do we have? We also have number three, helps reduce inflammation, particularly in combination with glucosamine and chondroitin. Due to its role as part of the powerful antioxidant SOD, manganese may reduce inflammation, all right, which is also very important. You don't want the body to be inflamed, have inflammation and things going on. That inflammation leads to disease. Okay, at least the health issues. So this mineral can help, potentially help when it comes to inflammation. Again, dealing with bones, osteoarthritis pain, because manganese is said to be good for the bones. You also have another nutrient, glucosamine and chondroitin. So if you're having bone issues, joint issues, sometimes you'll find these particular minerals or nutrients supplemented with manganese, okay, to reduce the pain of the osteoarthritis, the cartilage, and those type of things. So, helping with the reproduction of the collagen, which can lead to your mobility and you being able to move properly. So a lot of movement issues with movement, neurological movement, skeletal movement when it comes to this mineral. Also, number four, we talked about this, plays a role in blood sugar regulation. So we have, you know, definitely a lot of people that we, that, you know, seems to be the case within the Black community as well as other communities with diabetes. And it could be from a lack of this mineral, which is causing the blood sugar instability and lack of regulation that's needed for healthy blood. Okay. So also we talked about the manganese and pancreas connection. So it's heavily concentrated in the pancreas. So therefore, manganese is involved in the production of insulin, which removes sugar from your blood. Okay, so manganese may contribute to proper secretion of insulin and help stabilize blood sugar, since the pancreas is involved with production of insulin. All right? So there's a connection there with diabetes. You also have number five, linked to lower incidences of epileptic seizures. Stroke is the leading cause of epilepsy in adults over 35. They're caused by decreased blood flow to your brain. So if you're dealing with seizures, epilepsy again, check your manganese levels. Plays a role in the metabolism of nutrients. Number six, we talked about that, the breakdown of the macros through the enzymes that it helps with on that process there. Number seven, may reduce PMS symptoms in combination with calcium. So this is probably very important for women out there that may deal with this. Many women suffer from a variety of symptoms at certain times in their menstrual cycle. These may include anxiety, cramping, pain, mood swings, and even depression. Early research shows that taking manganese and calcium in combination may help improve premenstrual symptoms. Okay, so there's a lot of different things that can cause that in women. This could be one of those things to look into. All right. You know, typically when it comes to this, like a lot of things, it's just bad diet. And I always, you know, would tell women when it's about to be that time and you know it's coming, about a week out, your diet, go clean. Eat lots of vegetables, some fruits, water, some herbal teas, you know, not too heavy on the meat, maybe, you know, lots of fish and eggs and things like that versus, you know, beef and chicken and all those things. You want to be eating lighter, and then typically when the time comes around, you'll have a much more, you know, manageable time dealing with that, you know, when a cycle happens, all right? Number eight, may protect your brain against free radicals and improve brain function. So who wouldn't want this? Okay, who wants a brain that's not healthy? And what, you know, having an unhealthy brain, what is that going to lead to? All types of psychological problems. So, again, against free radicals, very, very key, this particular mineral, to fight against free radicals as a part of the antioxidant, you know, chain here and the properties that it has. Let me keep going here. Talked about some of the stuff already. Contributes to good thyroid health, number nine. So we've talked about the different minerals that help when it comes to thyroid. So we have selenium. We have iodine. And now we have manganese. Very important when it comes to thyroid health for those who maybe have some issues with the thyroid. Manganese is an essential cofactor for various enzymes, meaning that it helps these enzymes function and work properly in your body. It also plays a role in the production of thyroxine. Thyroxine is a vital hormone important for the normal function of your thyroid gland, which helps you maintain a proper appetite, metabolism, weight, and organ efficiency. As a result, a manganese deficiency could cause or contribute to a hypothyroid condition, which may contribute to weight gain and hormone imbalances. Okay. Number 10, may aid wound healing by playing a role in collagen production. Okay, so I know collagen is a big thing nowadays. A lot of people talk a lot about it because it plays such a pivotal role in different parts of our bodies, and it's not necessarily something that maybe people have focused on or is in the diet to the level to where a person would need it to be. And then when you talk about the particular tissues of the body that collagen is needed to repair, these are tissues that take a long time to actually repair. Like when you talk about cartilage in your bones. Okay, so you want to keep healthy cartilage. You want to be able to keep it able to be repaired. Then collagen is important. Also, here we see wound healing. So when you talk about collagen, it's like you have to talk about manganese also to make sure it's there assisting with the collagen supplementation. So this mineral, as well as other trace minerals, are important in the healing process of wounds. So, you know, who wants to bleed and not be able to be healed from a wound? And that, you know, blood clot and those things. But you also have collagen, which is needed to heal the wound. So there's an amino acid, proline, which is essential for collagen formation and wound healing in human skin cells. You also have calcium and zinc, also used to help with manganese when it comes to wound healing and collagen. You also have here listed the daily amount recommended and the sources, which we've talked about here. We talked about the side effects already. So one more time, the bottom line for manganese before we go to the questions now. The bottom line, without adequate dietary manganese, many chemical processes in your body may not function properly. The mineral plays a variety of roles, such as aiding metabolism, helping regulate blood sugar, contributing to decreased inflammation, reducing premenstrual cramps, and more. To get the biggest health boost, make sure to consume a variety of manganese-rich foods, such as whole grains and seeds. If you're considering a supplement, talk to your doctor first. Okay, so that's our article here on the 10 evidence-based benefits of manganese. Again, most people aren't too familiar with this. If they are familiar with it at all, maybe you've seen it, you know, on the back of an ingredient list or a nutrition facts chart and on something that you consumed, and you're like, what is this? What does it do? Because not many people talk about it. All right, so hopefully that gives everybody a good idea of what it's all about. And so now, being that we have covered all of that, we are now shifting over to our Q&A portion of the live stream here. So I'm going to go ahead and take your questions. So if you're in the chat and you have any questions here, go ahead, type them in the chat. If you would like to call in, the number is there on your screen, 515-605-9327. You can call in, press the number 1. I do see a caller in the queue, 405 area code. If you would like to speak, press 1. I do not see your hand raised. I will take your call. And I know sometimes Blog Talk doesn't always, you know, put a hand raised by people. So I'll go over. I don't see your hand raised, 405, but I will check you out here in a moment to see if maybe you wanted to speak here. So let me go ahead and let's see what questions do you all have, if any, when it comes to anything health, fitness, nutrition? We have until about 8:30 Central Time that I'll take questions. So a little over 35 minutes of question time. So now's your time to get the Q&A in. Call in, type it in the chat, and we will see if we can get some answers here. Someone asked, should you exercise before or after eating? That's a good question. It kind of depends on what your goals are. I would, you know, really when you look at it, before you exercise, you want to have probably ate a little something. Some people can exercise without eating. So it kind of depends on the person. But I would suggest eating something small, giving it a minimum 30 minutes to digest. So you have some fuel before you go exercise. So it kind of depends. If a person's trying to gain weight, they would definitely need to eat before they exercise. Okay, eat a good, well-balanced meal. Give it time to digest, 30, 45 minutes minimum, and then look to exercise, okay? And then another thing, after you exercise, it's important for the recovery. So you have to get the electrolytes, the sugars, which is the glucose. You have to get the protein in its most absorbable form. So you'll see people get post-workout supplements that address these macro and micronutrient needs. And then from there, because when you exercise, typically you're losing a lot of fluids and electrolytes. So you need something that's more so fast absorbing that you can drink after you finish exercising. And then after that, within 30 minutes to an hour, you want to eat a well-balanced meal. Okay, put something on the stomach. Body can recover from that. All right. And depending if you're trying to gain weight or lose weight or maintain is going to depend on what you're eating and how, you know, and what quantity of what you're eating. Okay, so I hope that answers your question. It just depends on the person and what the goals are. But that's it, kind of overview. Somebody says, what do you do to fix a lack of appetite? Well, again, something that could be many different reasons behind that. The thyroid is what actually we just read controls the hormones that would affect a person's appetite or lack thereof. So you want to make sure your thyroid is healthy. You want to make sure that you're getting the minerals, the iodine, the selenium, the manganese, make sure those minerals are there in your diet, which is going to regulate your appetite, okay? And, you know, also things like, you know, proper sleep, stress levels. Because I know if I'm dealing with something that's stressful, I know after I finish, I typically can't eat. Like whatever I'm dealing with and it's stressful, like I don't have appetite. You know, I have to give myself time to calm down to build up an appetite. Something else you can do, exercise. If you're doing some type of strength training, and when I say strength training, I'm not talking about trying to get buff. Like you can strength train and actually lose weight from strength training. But typically when you're working your muscles like that, it's going to induce an appetite. All right, so there's different things you can do. Also, things that can throw your appetite off are a lot of processed foods. Make sure that you are minimizing ultra-processed foods that you're eating and drinking in your diet. When it comes to, you know, what you're eating, sometimes you can eat certain things that can maybe cause you to be very full and therefore you don't feel hungry. Like if a person eats a lot of, like, for instance, bread and they drink a lot of water behind that, it's going to expand in the stomach. And now, you know, you may be full for 5-6 hours from eating bread, which typically just bread alone isn't a lot of, you know, what the body needs. And therefore, it throws your appetite off. Okay, so there's a lot of different things, but each person would have to be evaluated because from person to person, it could vary. Okay, let me go over to the 925 area code here on Blog Talk, and I'm going to come back to your questions in the chat. So just hold your question. I'll try to get through as many as I can. 925, you're live. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, Brother Ramar. This is Brother Nasai from Antioch, California Body.
Hey, long time no here. How you doing?
Yeah, I've been catching you. I mostly catch you on the afterlife, you know, because I always listen to your show. Like the last one you did was really interesting, man. Definitely. And so, yeah, and then it was this one's kind of in a way related, I guess, too, because of food. But, yeah, I was wondering, do you know, because I just got into the YouTube thing about 10 minutes ago, so I missed most of what you were saying. But does it matter on the manganese what you take? Because, like, I was on there looking while you were talking, and it said they have, like, chelated, and then they have regular, and I'm not sure what chelated really means. Like, is it better than the regular one, or?
So you're talking about, like, which supplement to take if you're going to take a supplement?
Yeah.
What form of the manganese to take?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and that's kind of going to depend on some different factors for the particular person. That's where a doctor would come in and maybe tell you exactly which one maybe you need. But all in all, the best thing that I recommend is through food supplements. So anything
right,
that comes from a food source, like plant-based, you want it to be kosher. So you want to have kosher supplements, because if it's not kosher, that means they could be using shellfish or swine, you know, no telling what they're using for that. So food-based but kosher. Sometimes it might be animal-based, but typically it's usually plant or phyto. So if you go there, because remember, if you're getting it in nature, it's the way the Most High, it's the way God put it in nature for it to be consumed and us to receive it. So you typically can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the chart that you just put up, and definitely I love pineapple. I love me some blueberries and strawberries. So I definitely, and I eat asparagus too, so a lot. So
okay.
Maybe I'm good at it, huh?
Yeah, you probably would be good. Now, if it's something where you're looking at the deficiencies and you're saying I have one of these symptoms that's could be potentially from a deficiency, that's where you would get your levels checked to confirm whether or not. But if you feel fine, you don't have any of those symptoms that come from a deficiency, and you're eating these foods that are on the chart, then typically you're probably going to be fine. Because really, they really haven't just seen people that have a deficiency in diet from this mineral. Typically what they find is people that are deficient is some type of illness. There's an illness, something happening in the blood that's causing the deficiency, you see.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and then I just want to make a comment real quick on that person that you said asked a question about their appetite, not having an appetite. Sometimes, man, you know, you don't have to eat 3 meals a day. Depends on how much energy you're burning up. You know, for me, I find myself, you know, I eat twice a day mostly, and I try to eat within a no more than 7 hours period. I try to – sometimes I do 6, but only within a 6-hour period and I stop eating. That way, you know,
right.
I have a longer fast.
Yeah, so you're looking like you're doing some intermittent fasting then.
Yes.
Right, yeah, and you're right. Your appetite is definitely going to be based upon your activity level. So, you know, you may have a person that's not very active, and then therefore their, you know, their appetite isn't maybe that much. So it does depend on your activity. That's what I was saying. You know, if you want to increase it, get into some exercise. Probably going to your body's going to be hungry. You're doing a lot of exercise, so
Right, right. All right, Elder Woods, good to hear from you, man. Appreciate what you do, man. It's always a blessing to hear the shows that you do, and you always bring some really good information, and, you know, it's much appreciated.
All praises to the Most High. And just real quick before you go, because I know, you know, we go back, and it's been a minute. I know you called, you know, calling in the past and first time and probably some, you know, at least a year or two, maybe longer. You know, just how's everything going? You still there with the church there in Antioch?
Yeah, I don't go as much to the church every weekend, but I did. I made it out to the Passover, and you know, I'm starting to, you know, trying to get my mom is starting to say like she wants to go, so I'm definitely going to be bringing her there soon to the Antioch Church. She watches Elder McCarr with me pretty much every Sabbath, and on Wednesday too. So it's kind of I've been looking for you on my TV because I don't have a smart TV yet, but I have a so I'm trying to find like different apps to see if I can see you on there, but they don't have the Twitch or the Odyssey yet on the cable stream out here. So you know, I kind of
You would have to find that. You would have to find that through the TV software that's built into the TV. Like when you go to the TV, you have apps. Depending on your TV, you could download the app if it's not in the apps already on your TV. Or you could always use HDMI, hook it up to a laptop, or you could cast from your phone to the TV. Those are just some of the options how to get it from your phone or your computer to the TV also.
Yeah, but, I got to look at that. Maybe I could download the app. Maybe
okay. Yeah. So, but those are some of the many ways. But yeah, definitely to hear from you and hear that you know you're still you know going strong and you know it's hard to you know endure in this walk. So it's good to hear from you and we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer and thanks for all the support and your call.
Yeah, yes, sir. And you know I still keep in touch with. Bishop Lucas out here, and I talk to quite a few brothers all the time. So, you know, I'm still in it. I just ain't, you know, out there as much. But, you know, I'm dealing with some issues, you know. I'm not walking right now. So, you know, it's been tough, but the Most High don't ever give us anything we can't handle, you know what I'm saying? So,
that's a true soldier, you know, dealing with those things and still in it. And so it's good to, good to see you here, man, and I pray that you continue to stay strong in it.
All right, Elder, you too, man. You have a good one. Talk to you soon.
Okay, you as well. Okay. All right. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
All right, 405, I do not see you with your hand raised, so I'll come back to you in a moment to see if maybe you would like to speak. But let me come back to the calls in questions in the chat. Let's see. Somebody says, what is regeneratively farmed corn? I saw it on a bag of corn chips. Well, let me look that up. I've never heard of that. It doesn't sound good. All right. Maybe it is good. Had to do some more research on it. It's the first I've heard of this. But let me pull it up here so you all can see my screen. It says, what is regeneratively farmed corn? In regenerative agriculture, farmers rotate different types of crops over time. This helps limit pest infestations and nourishes beneficial microbes in the soil with a more diverse diet. Rotating between nitrogen-fixing crops like soybeans and nitrogen-hungry crops like corn can reduce the need for fertilizers. Okay, so what I thought it was something about the corn itself being regenerated some way, but it's more so dealing with the agriculture and the way that they're actually farming. And so by farming in this way, they're basically, it's like crop rotation, because soybeans fix the soil or nitrogen in the soil, whereas corn eats up all the nitrogen. So when you're rotating these crops out, it keeps the soil balanced. It also can help with limiting pests, which you don't want dealing with pests on your crops. Trust me, if anybody's garden, you would know when dealing with pests how much of a irritation that is. But it also helps with the beneficial microbes or the bacteria in the soil, which is very important, because that's a big part of what's missing in our food, is the bacteria, the beneficial microbes. Because if it's not in the soil, it's not going to be in the food. All right, so that hopefully answers that question there. Again, you have your number on the screen if you would like to call in. Feel free. We've got about 20 more minutes. We're going to take more questions here. Let's see. We have any other questions here? I have a question here about pomegranate seeds. Are we allowed to eat the seeds or no? I'm thinking when you say eat the seeds, meaning that you chew on them and the juice comes out, but then now can you eat the seed? I've eaten pomegranate seeds before. I don't feel like it's affected me at all. It kind of depends on the person, I would say, because, you know, some people may have seed allergies. There are certain things in the seed, certain minerals, certain amino acids that are there beneficial, but there are certain things there that could be, you know, cause allergies. But as far as I'm concerned, I know people to eat the seeds. So let's see, what else do we have here? Let me go over to 405 area code. I see you here. I just want to make sure here on Blog Talk, if you have a question, I'm going to bring you in and see. If not, I'll put you back in so you can continue to listen. 405, you have a comment or question, you're live. 405 area code 0721, comment or question. Okay, I'll put you back in the queue here. And let me come back to the chat. Someone says they prefer a greenhouse. Yes, a greenhouse is definitely the way to go to limit most types of pestilence, dealing with pests and, you know, the critters that would tear up your crops. Says, other than the greenhouse, how can we protect the crops from chemtrails? Any suggestions? Well, there are certain cover crops that can be planted. Certain, you would look in the cover crops, look into certain plants that you can plant with your crops that provide some type of relief that would help maybe absorb or deal with stuff like chemtrails. Like, for instance, people were talking about pests dealing with your produce and you're trying to farm or garden and the pests are destroying your crop. One thing people like to do is plant mint with their crops. And therefore, the mint is something that a lot of pests, you know, they can't handle. They can't handle the scent. Mint is very antibacterial, you know, antiviral, antifungal. So typically the stuff that it has, the scent and the chemicals that are in leaves or, you know, mostly not animals, but pests like bugs that can't handle it. So it could be a natural pesticide. One thing you got to be careful with, mint is very invasive, meaning that it can actually take over your whole garden. Okay, so you have to be careful. So what I would suggest maybe with mint is maybe putting it in a container, small containers, and then putting them like around your crops that you want to protect. And therefore, the mint is contained within the container and it can't spread throughout the garden and take over. And because it can become like a weed and take over the garden and choke out your plants, and you don't want that. But that's just an example. There are different things that can ward off and absorb, chemicals and, harmful agents that could be in the air or in the water or in the ground. So you would just need to look into what some of those plants are that could help. All right. Let's see, what else do we have here? What's the easiest way to get pomegranate seeds from the juice that surrounds them? I would probably say the easiest way is to chew on them, but you can look to juice them if you have a juicer. That'd be another way. Just kind of depends on what, you know, you consider easiest. For some people, chewing on them is easy and they just spit them out or swallow them. And for some people, they may want to just juice them or find a place that juices pomegranate and you can just get it juiced there. Let's see. Okay, so not seeing too many other questions, and that's fine, on Blog Talk or in the live stream. So if that's the case, then we can look to conclude this particular live stream. If no one else has any questions, we can just save it for next time. Again, a lot to talk about when it comes to health. We're finishing up on the mineral portion. We're coming to a close as far as essential minerals that we need. And then we're going to shift over into some other things when it comes to diet, health, shifting away from the nutrients, the micronutrients. Okay, so I do not see any more questions at this time, which is good. We took about 30 minutes worth of questions, so I'm going to go ahead and conclude this live stream. So I pray the information that we've discussed in this live stream has been beneficial to you all, edifying. And also, until next time, here for GOCC Fit, I pray that you all have that you're blessed in your body and in your health. Godspeed.